you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Matthew 5, verse 2 through 5. And he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." That was Matthew 5, verses 2 through 5.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's February 20th, 2026. Hi, this is Dave Fitch, Director of Development with Great News Media, filling in today for Mark Burns on Mark and Friends. Joining me today is Mark Johnson, Senior Pastor of Calvary Church in Springfield, Illinois, and we'll be discussing Matthew chapter 5 as we continue our journey through the Beatitudes. And this time we'll be spending time in some of the most meaningful promises Jesus ever spoke. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Welcome to the room full of friends that have joined us. Pastor, I look forward to continuing our discussion about these foundational teachings of Jesus.
Dave, thank you. I want to take just a moment and encourage everybody to listen. I know people are listening in Iowa and Indiana and all over Illinois. And I just want to encourage all of you, wherever you're at in your faith, 46 days from the moment we're cutting this broadcast until Easter. So when you're hearing it, it's going to be about 42 days, I think. And maybe 43. And I want to encourage you to do a couple things. If you're a Christian, you go to church, begin to really pray for your church. Begin to really pray for your pastor as he prepares the message and they prepare that service. And pray for the people who will come in your doors of that church that day who are not followers of Christ, that they will hear a message that will draw them to Christ. Begin to pray about who you should invite to your church. And invite somebody to come with you. Easter is the most likely day of the year that somebody who doesn't go to church will go to church. Take advantage of that. Invite a coworker, invite a relative, invite a friend, bring somebody to church. And if you don't know about faith and you're listening to this today, understand this is fundamental. The Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, is fundamental to the faith of Christianity, that Jesus is risen from the grave. Go to a good church, find a good church, and go to it on Easter Sunday. Be a part of that celebration. If you're here in Springfield and you don't go to church anyplace, I invite you to come out to Calvary. We actually have a service on Saturday night at 6 o'clock the week of Easter for people who can't come on Sunday morning. It's at 6 o'clock on Saturday night. We have a Good Friday service where we really, it's a solemn service. We commemorate the crucifixion of Christ on the cross. And we want to invite you to come and be a part of those and really think about the great weekend that it is. And it's coming up fast, the first weekend of April. And so plan on being a part of that. Now today, we're going to continue talking about the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount begins very interestingly with Jesus talking about this word blessed. And he says things like, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It seems kind of the opposite of how we would think. It's just not the way things are. And that's because we live in a nature of the world instead of in a relationship with God. So this word blessed, many theologians, many famous theologians, when they interpret this passage, they interpret it to mean happy. Happy is the person who feels this way. Now, that happiness, we'll talk about this in a moment, is endued with the power of God in it. But let me just ask a question in this room. When we think about our culture, those of us who are Americans in this culture, how would you define happiness? What makes a person happy?
He who dies with the most toys wins.
Okay, so somebody who gets a lot of stuff. Okay, thanks, Sam. That's good.
I would say freedom. Our culture thinks no rules, all for myself. That's freedom. That is happiness.
Okay, good.
Looking young and sexy. Very important.
Very important. Yes. Well, some of us are lost there then, I guess. Our happiness is gone forever, right?
No.
There you go. Anybody else? That's good. So think about this. Those of you who are listening with us today and those in this room, what is the amount of happiness in your life? How consistent is an attitude of happiness in your life? Or maybe, as we've been laughing today, if happiness is defined certain ways, well, game over. I can't be happy anymore. So is my happiness, am I 90% of the time am I happy? 50% of the time do I have a spirit of happiness? 20% of the time do I have a spirit of happiness? What takes away my happiness? So all of a sudden, I'm not young and beautiful. Maybe I never was. So could I never be happy? Maybe I don't have a lot of toys, so I can't be happy. I don't have as much as some other guy, because no matter how much you have, there's always going to be somebody else with more. So what takes away your happiness? Jesus is laying out his kingdom. He's inviting us into his kingdom and showing us the rules of his kingdom. And he starts with this very basic need of man. Plato talks about this need. Socrates talks about this need. The great philosophers of the world have talked about it. Jesus takes their word and he uses it to show how to obtain happiness in the kingdom of God. So if we think that fame makes us happy, have you ever heard about a famous person that wasn't happy?
Yeah.
Heard about a lot of famous people who weren't happy, miserable in life. Mm-hmm. I've known rich people with all kinds of toys, Tim, that weren't happy. They were unsatisfied. Known people with power, unhappy. How about the other end of the spectrum? Have you ever known somebody who didn't have much and was very happy?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Somebody who had no power, and yet they had a contentment in their soul that was kind of infectious. You wanted to be around them. Somebody who was unknown, but there was a spirit of abiding joy in them. So what is the true source of lasting, continuing happiness? Is that even possible? Is that even obtainable? Day in, day out happiness, no matter what is going on in my life. If you're listening to us out there today and you're at this point where you're filled with worry, is it possible to obtain happiness even if maybe your marriage isn't going well or your kids aren't doing well or you're not doing well at work? Is it possible to obtain happiness? I believe in the Beatitudes, Jesus is showing us the way to that abiding happiness. So, let me be clear. I have known Christians, followers of Christ, who were not happy. They were unhappy people. They were not content in their souls. So what God intends for them, what Jesus intends for them, they're missing. They don't have that contentment in our soul. So Scripture has a lot of building block stories. You do this. You know, if you do this and this and this and this. Most of those building block stories, lessons, are not what I would call building blocks in the sense that you have to have one to get the next one. Then you have to have one to get the next one. No, you can, somebody, maybe they have this one and they don't have that one, or they're struggling through life with things. That's not the case with this scripture. This scripture, Jesus is laying building blocks in front of us. Every one of them are essential. So what happens if you have, you know, if you're playing some game and you pull the bottom block out? What happens?
Over it goes.
Over it goes. It crumbles. And so there's people, maybe they've got a lot of blocks in place, but they don't have the bottom one in place. Every one is essential in this lesson. I think this lesson is one of them. So let me define godly happiness. Godly happiness is a state of being. It's a state of who I am. It is something that is supplied to me outside of me and outside of my circumstances by the Spirit of God. It's the abiding presence of God. So we think about the fruit of the Spirit, and part of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. You think about the abiding presence of the Spirit in us that comes and brings to us a spirit of all is well with my soul. All is well. Things are crumbling around me. The psalmist writes about it. He writes about, you know, what do you do when the storms are blowing? What do you do when the waves are crashing on you? What do you do? And it's all about the abiding presence of something bigger than the waves, bigger than the circumstances, greater than anything I'm ever going to face. And that is the presence of God being alive in my life. So if you're not abiding in happiness, I'm going to give you a couple things to do. If you're listening to and you're struggling, you're going from mountaintop to valley to mountaintop to valley. You're living by circumstances instead of by the very presence of God in your life. What do you do? Well, first of all, I would tell you, if you don't have it, do this. Tell God about it. Tell him. I'm not happy. I don't have that abiding presence. If you're out there struggling today, tell God. God, you see what's going on in my life. You see what's happening. I am filled with worry. I am filled with fear. I'm filled with a little bit of anger. I'm filled with frustration over this thing. God, I can't overcome this on my own. Then I would tell you, as you do that, then go to Matthew chapter 5 and begin to apply this list step by step in your life. It starts with coming to God and saying, I don't know how to live the right way. I don't know how to do this. I don't know the way that brings happiness. I've been trying. I thought if I did this, I'd be happy. I thought if I did that, I'd be happy. I thought if I had kids, I'd be happy. Man, they're driving me crazy. You know, I thought all these things would give me fullness of happiness. I don't know the way to happiness. I don't know how to think right. This is what this first verse talks about. I don't even know how to think right to have abiding happiness. Abiding happiness is different than circumstantial happiness. Abiding happiness isn't about what happens outside of me. Abiding happiness is about what happens inside of me by the power of God. And so I don't know the way to get there. I don't know what to do to attain abiding happiness. So God, I'm just surrendering to you. I'm just giving it all to you. If you will come to a realization that there is such a thing as abiding happiness, and if you'll come to the realization that the only way you can have abiding, constant happiness, a sense of maybe not having the giggles, but a sense of everything is okay. Everything's all right. I'm going to get through this. You think this is bad? I've got something in me that's greater than anything this world can throw at me. Whatever the doctors say, whatever anybody else, I know who my God is. What you need to have abiding happiness is the presence of God. So, with that, you've got to throw out your ideas about how to live life and say, okay, God, I'm going to live your way. And when you do that, God says, I will show you the way of the kingdom. So recognize your condition. And what's the next part of it? Mourn over your condition. God, I'm sorry. I've been trying to do this on my own. My actions, I've been trying to do it on my own. Mourn. God, this isn't the way. This isn't working. This isn't working. My life, I'm feeling empty all the time. I'm going from maybe a moment of, boy, everything's great, to a moment of everything's terrible. According to God, those actions are feelings of how we've gotten to those places. They were wrong. Our thermostat was broken. I, I, I,
And now I look at them and I think, well, I don't even feel like I can do it God's way. That's because we're broken. Recognize your dependence on God and your need for the grace of Him. Admit your condition. Admit that we're fallen creatures. Ask Christ to come move in your life. Now, this leads us to a third step. The condition leads us to meekness. So, how does the world define meekness? We're going to give everybody in this room a chance to jump in. I've talked for a while. What is meekness?
Being in a state where we let everybody take advantage of us and we don't resist anything.
That's a cultural term. Anybody else want to add to that?
I think part of the problem, culture as it is, the word that Matthew records, it is also the basis for the term gentleman. You know, the gentle part there. And, you know, a gentleman is able to protect, you know, the people around him, the people he cares for, but he doesn't go around abusing that power.
Anybody else cultural meekness?
Well, not standing up to somebody who's picking on you. That's what, there's a general, you know, don't be so meek about it. Just stand up to that person.
You know, Chrissy, I've got to tell you, in my flesh, and I've got to pray about this, because when I see people who live by the definition of the world in meekness, I don't want to be like them. I don't want to live like them. I don't see anything good. I don't see them having happiness. I don't see them having abiding joy in their life. They're just getting run over. They're just getting bullied. They're just getting picked on. They're just getting beat up. And they're kind of over in the corner, whether anybody's meaning to beat them up or not, they're beating up themselves. They're working. Everybody in the room may love them, and they're sitting over there going, nobody loves me, nobody likes me, you know. They're over there just feeling sorry for themselves all the time. Yeah. Well, that's not a pathway. That's not what Jesus is talking about. It's not a sense of not having any value. No, I think God makes us courageous. God makes us righteous. God makes us bold while we're being empathetic and sensitive. God's got a good balance for us in life. And so the balance doesn't run over people, and the balance doesn't pick on people, but the balance doesn't just make me get run over all the time either. No, the word here that's often used here in this passage is blessed are the humble. Blessed are the humble. Now remember, this is about my relationship towards God. I'm humble in the face of God. A right attitude before God leads to a right attitude towards others, but it begins with this right attitude towards God. So here's another definition I want you to throw at me. What is culturally, what is pride culturally?
If you got it, flaunt it.
Okay.
And that's okay to do that.
Yeah.
It's cool. You're cool. Yes. You're an influencer.
You're an influencer.
Look at me.
Looking out for number one, having confidence.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, what about pride?
Goes before a fall.
Before a fall.
Mm-hmm.
So as we define culture and pride, I mean, most of us, if we see somebody who's really prideful, they're all that, they're kind of arrogant, we don't like that too much either. But pride looks to the good for me, makes me want to feel better than everybody else. I can do life on my own. I know the right way. Here's what biblical pride means. Biblical pride is, I'm on my own. I did this on my own. I'm a doctor because I'm smart. I'm an athlete because I have great abilities. I'm a great musician because I have natural talent. Me. It's me. It's all about me. And it's not about, God made me smart enough to become a doctor. God gave me the ability to be an athlete. God gave me the talent to be a great musician. And I lose that sense of every good thing is given to me by God. That's pride. And when we get there, God says, oh yeah? And he pulls a rug out from under us.
And maybe I still have that talent, or maybe I don't have that talent anymore. Maybe I get hurt and I can't be the athlete anymore. I get old, I can't be the athlete anymore. Whatever it is, he pulls the rug gets pulled out from under me, and I realize I can't do this on my own. I crumble and I fall. A meek man tosses his feelings about his self-worth aside and says, my only worth comes from God. A meek man tosses his tradition about how to live life. He tosses them aside. He tosses his desires aside. Oh, I want this or I want that. Throws them all away. Nope. All of those are broken. And he comes meekly, humbly before God, and he says, whatever you say, that's it. You've got the say. You tell me to love others, I'm going to stop putting myself in first place. One of the greatest ladies I've ever known passed away a week ago at 100 years old. And one of the things I would say about you, in all the years that I knew her, she never sought to be the center of attention. If you were with her, she made you the center of attention. And she was one of the happiest, most joyful people I've ever known in my life. If the Bible says to serve others, then we don't go, what does our pride say? Serve me. Give me stuff. Pay attention to me. God says, nope, serve others. Do something for others. If the Bible says, forgive others, we go, forgive them. God, you know what they did to me? And God says back to us, you know what you did to me? Forgive others. Think purely. When we say, God, I accept your way, that's the way.
Well, we've learned a lot today, Pastor Mark. We've learned that we could try and struggle and fail over and over and over again, and we could try all the options that the culture throws at us to find our happiness, but the guaranteed route to happiness is as simple as going to God's Word and believing it and implementing it in our lives. That's an incredible lesson. Well, thank you, Pastor Mark, and thanks to everyone gathered here in the studio today. Mark and Friends is heard at 7:32 a.m. and 7:32 p.m. each weekday. And if you missed a portion of this program, want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening and thanks for being part of our radio family. For Great News Media, I'm Dave Fitch along with Pastor Mark John and a room full of friends. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.